Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk, where we take a light-hearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, in Washington. Tonight, flight attendants. Well, who is a flight attendant? Flight attendants are cabin crew or members of an aircrew employed by airlines, primarily to ensure the safety and comfort of passengers aboard commercial flights. But you can also say they are safety officers on board. But what are the requirements of this job? Can one be too old? Is it glamorous, stressful, or risky? And does it matter whether you are too short or too tall to make it? We'll find out tonight. As usual, let's talk. We'll explore this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please stay tuned. Now it's time to welcome to our show former flight attendants in the house in studio, Moses Haule. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you, Sunday.
And on the phone, I have Ashura Yusuf from Tanzania. Welcome, Ashura.
Thank you, Sunday.
And we also have Miriam in Kenya. Welcome aboard, Miriam.
Thank you.
And Helen Ajumbo from Uganda, but all the way now speaking from Atlanta. Welcome,
Hi.
Helen.
Thank you, Sunday.
In this edition of Let's Talk, we'll be discussing about flight attendants. Well, the flight attendants are working, traveling from one country to the other or from one state to the other and all around the world. During Pan Am heydays in the 60s, they were strict requirements for stewardesses. I mean, they had to be at least 5'2", weigh no more than 130 pounds. And of course, retire by age 32. So they couldn't be married, they couldn't have children. And as a result, most women averaged about 18 months on the job. But in the 70s, the Organization of Stewardesses for Women Rights forced airlines to change their ways. And the mandatory retirement age was the first thing to go. By the 80s, the marriage restriction was gone as well. So these days, as long as flight attendants can do their job and pass a yearly training program, they can keep flying. All right. But is this stressful? Or is it the best experience for those doing that job? I spoke to Al Hassan and I wanted to know his take.
I'm not a flight attendant, remember. I flew from here to, well, you know, 2 years ago to South Korea. It was a 13.5 hour, you know.
South Korea? Flight. How long was that flight, my friend?
No stop. I saw things, I saw things practically, you know, that sometimes too they have to, if I may add, well, after a certain time, the assistants tend to get used to, you know, jet lag. You know, jet lag is one of the most serious things, mood swings that people get into, you know, and if you are very old, hanging in jet lag could be challenging. But
could
it depends on the amount of flight hours that you go through. So that your body, your metabolism will be able to adapt to, you know, the changes in time zones and stuff. But it will be less of a challenge if it involves a youthful person.
Right, because as you say, flying all the way to South Korea, I can imagine that was a very long flight.
It's very, very.
Of course, also they have to deal with some people who, you know, want to drink a little bit more than the others. Also,
exactly.
They have to deal with security in the aircraft. In case of anything, they have to be alert.
Much,
they got to be vigilant. The eyes got to be good. The ears got to be very good. You know, everything has to be at par, including
exactly.
Your health.
And remember also.
Yes.
Another challenge is that it's not just the meals, but, you know, the places of convenience, the men's or women's room. It's not easy. I mean, basically it's a challenge because you have to make sure that the private rooms, the place of convenience are clean.
Thank you, Al Hassan. This is Let's Talk, and we are discussing flight attendants. Now, in order for somebody to qualify to do this job, of course, they have to be smart. They have to be also physically fit. But, Martin, tell me, why is this so important?
A I think you gotta look the whole aspect of the job, because you gotta travel in different time zones. You have to deal with different people. So that's why you have to be fit. You have to work long hours, standing up, walking. So I think you should be, you should have some type of physicality to do the job.
All right. I have Ashura Yusuf. Tell me, Ashura, your experience. You've been a flight attendant before.
Most people think that being a flight attendant is just about serving tea and coffee. Being a flight attendant is actually compact in the sense that you are a safety officer. You are a flight attendant in the sense that you serve people, yes, tea and coffee. You're there to somehow entertain them, to make their journey feel entertained. You are a first aid officer as well, in the sense that you have to administer first aid in case of an emergency. So it's compact. It's more than that. You have to have good communication skills. You have to be tactful in the way you handle your passengers, because you meet many kinds of different people with different characters. So you're actually very, very qualified in customer service and communication skills and first aid and the bit. You're also a firefighter in the sense that you also learn how to fight fires in case there's one that happens on board. So to me, being a flight attendant has been a very, very good experience. It has given me exposure into the different fields, like I've just mentioned, like you're a firefighter, first aid officer, and the base. So it's just more than serving tea and coffee. It's compact.
You mentioned a lot of good things up in here, but I want to know from Miriam, tell me something here. Now, with this job, you've done this before as well. Is it stressful or is always having a great experience and a good time?
It was both. It could be both, especially because you would be flying to, you know, to different places, different countries. It's experiences with different cultures, things like food, etc., etc. And, you know, you end up in a hotel room. If you recall, during our trainings, it would be anybody from anywhere. It would have been, you know, it could have been a crew member from South Africa, somebody at home, you have no background at all or nothing in common. So, yes, it will be stressful to a certain extent because, you know, you need it, you need to fit in. You kind of need to go with the flow wherever you end up. And the time zones alone. I remember the first time we flew to London, you know, not aware of, you know, how it all works. We got in during the day and, you know, took a nap and woke up. And we're completely frightened that we've missed our flight. So that, you know, there were some elements that made it stressful. But just like everything in life, it's got good and bad. And it's then how you cope with it. And that's why I think it's such, you know, Ashura did mention something about, you know, our job. It wasn't just being trolley dollies like they like to call us. There were so many aspects to it. And one of it was the training and how to live and cope in different environments. And that's, you know, that can be stressful. But then we were equipped with how to handle those challenges and then make it glamorous. Of course it was glamorous.
Now, there are so many requirements in this job. Back in the days, you have to be a certain weight. Some things have gone away, but some things are still there. Why is this important? To be a certain weight. These are all requirements to do this job. At the same time, some people say it's too risky to do this kind of job. Helen Ajumbo, you did this when you were so young, right? What do you think about it?
The height and weight thing,
yeah.
I often wondered why it was usually a requirement. The height, I can understand. You cannot be tall, maybe like Shaq going through almost the roof of the plane, and you cannot walk around, you're bending the whole time you're walking around. Mm-hmm. You have to be a particular height, and the weight has to correlate with that because of the balance, the air balance in the air. I'm thinking, you can't be too lightweight. I remember, I remember Maggie, she kept telling me, you're so underweight, you have to put on weight, because I was like 51 kilos at the time. telling people to put on weight. She kept saying, telling me, you're underweight. If you don't put on weight in the next year or so, we're going to have to pull you off the plane.
Wow. She was just stressing you.
Yes. And I was thinking, I tried, you know, to eat everything that could make me put on weight. I typically do not put on weight easily. So that was kind of stressful for me.
Stressful for you. Oh.
Yeah. Like Ashura said about looking presentable, customer service and all that. People want to see
Yeah, they just
a
want
nice
you to
body.
Look nice. You ain't got nothing yeah. to do with weight.
And they, just, they also, I think, want you to fit in that jumpsuit. Because if you're a crew member, you have to fit on the jumpsuit, right? If you're too
okay,
big,
yeah, that's
you can
true.
Fit in there, right?
And if you're too
yes,
short,
too.
You cannot help anybody to put the luggage up.
Yeah, right. So the height and weight thing was like, that stressed me out. But the other stressant of the job would have been for the people who were married and had children at the time. Most of us were not, but some of us were. I can't imagine having to leave my child for 3 days. You remember when sometimes we had to go to South Africa, maybe Wednesday through Saturday? Or
3 days only?
Or go to London for a week, or go away for Christmas. You remember, if you were scheduled during the Christmas season, you were pretty much gone a whole week, you know. For the mothers, it would be really hard, you know. And also for the married people, if you were not married to a flight attendant or a captain or whoever, and you had to leave your spouse at home, a lot of cheating and a lot of, I'm not even going to go there, but...
Helen, they even cheat if you're around. It doesn't matter if you're
around. But it's open when you're away 3 days, 4 days. Not just for the spouse you left at home, but even for the person who's flying. There's a lot more temptation. I think I'm going into another round of issues.
So, Elena Jumbo, in another way, are you telling us that it's kind of risky for marriages, for people who are married to be flight attendants?
Yes, I believe that.
Okay, but we have so many people right now, as you say, the rules are changing. We have older people now who are flight attendants and married, and they, you know, they keep going. So I guess it could come to a personal thing, or is up for debate, I guess.
It's good, yeah.
Okay, hold it right there. For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service.
Skibbity bum, you want my heart. Skibbity bum, you have my heart. Skibbity bum, you want my favor. Skibbity bum, you are my girl.
This is Let's Talk, where we take a light-hearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shumari, in a Washington studio with Moses Haule, Ellen Ajumbo, Ashura Yusuf, and Miriam Flamini. Right now, we are discussing flight attendants. Well, some people say that flight attendant job can be addictive and is not for everyone. I spoke to my colleague, Salem Solomon, and I wanted to know her take.
I don't know if ageism is something that applies in work spaces. But unfortunately, I think some you know, recruiters might have their own biases in the way that they can please their customers. So they might apply that in the job, you know, in picking up their candidates, maybe. If they are physically able to move around, I don't think age is a factor. I mean, you could be young and not be able. So I would say it shouldn't be, but that would be an ideal world. But I have seen older flight attendants.
Because you've been flying so many times and you see different kind of flight attendants.
That's true.
Of course. And now, for someone like you, can you tell me if you have an experience of how it is to be a flight attendant? Or did anybody tell you you could be a flight attendant in your life?
There's a funny story, actually. I remember when I was in Eritrea, they were scouting for flight attendants. And I remember this guy, are you interested in, becoming a flight attendant? I mean, it was not my goal in life was not that. So it didn't really meet my ambitions. But I remember reading, maybe our audience might find out if this is true or not. Mm-hmm. But I remember seeing something. It wasn't written, or maybe I heard it somewhere. That's part of the reason why I cannot really confidently say this is true. Mm-hmm. But I remember that one of the requirements to become a flight attendant was that you do not have flat feet.
Really?
Which I thought was ridiculous. But then again, if you think of it,
Right.
Scientifically, I guess, maybe, or in emergency cases, you need some sort of balance when you land. Mm-hmm. Maybe that could make sense. I have no idea. Maybe somebody, I would stand corrected if somebody comes out and say, that is bogus.
Well, we'll find out about that, because I'm speaking with former flight attendants right now after we speak, so they'll probably tell us about this. Thank you, Salim. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing flight attendants. Back to the studio, Martin Moses Haule Kaliga. You are a former flight attendant, my friend, and you know a lot of things to deal with this thing. Tell me about your experience flying. There's this thing people call turbulence, keeping in mind you're serving tea and coffee while you're on air. Now, what happens? Have you really experienced this? I'm sure you experienced it maybe so many times. Can you tell me your experience with turbulence and how to deal with it?
Wow. Yeah, it's so many. It happens so many times. And it's once you fly for some time, it's a kind of normal for turbulence.
So you get used to it?
Yeah, you get used to it. But if you have a severe turbulence, that's something else. But just turbulence, it happens. You expect something like that. But ain't much you really can do just to secure the card. You're talking about safety of the people around you. But then it could be a scary thing for inexperienced people or travelers. But you get used to it. You really get used to
it. So you have to bold.
It's something that you don't have a control
over. So you have to man up and deal with it.
Yeah, it's not that scary. It's you fly. You get bumps when you drive on the road. So, hey, what the heck?
But they say it could be dangerous sometimes. Maybe give me your experience. Anybody else? Ashura, you've been flying as well for a while.
Yeah, I had once. It was bad in the sense that what I felt in my stomach, oh my God, that was bad. It was really, really bad when we're about to land. We're approaching Johannesburg, and I was walking through the aisles, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden it became turbulent. You know how it used to be when we're about to land Joburg, and I was doing my final checks, and this bad turbulence. The plane just went like down, and before you knew it, the plane was up again. Do you know that feeling when you like going down the hill and over all of a sudden you find yourself like you're going up again? It was bad, but anyway, mm-hmm. I managed to hold myself between I was in the aisles, so I held my hands between both sides of the seats. And lucky enough, it did not last for even a minute. It was just a matter of seconds, and we're done.
Wow.
We're back tomorrow to the Korea.
Right. Some people get hurt when this happens, when it is so severe.
Yeah.
It can cause trouble, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But if I ask Helen Ajambo, I mean, with your experience and your memories that you took with you, do you think mm-hmm. this job is kind of addictive? And is not for everyone?
It's certainly not for everyone, in the sense that there are people who are very, very afraid of heights, and there are people who are ill mentally, probably have allergies, probably have medical issues and all that, and, you know, or other people have issues, so mm-hmm. it wouldn't be for everyone.
Is it addictive for those who are doing it?
Oh, yes, I absolutely think it's addictive.
We still probably be doing it until now.
Yes, honestly, if Alliance hadn't closed, it was going to be so, so hard to get up. Let me tell you.
Okay, tell me
why. Let me tell you why it's
addictive. Tell me why I wouldn't. Like Moses says, I'm too old, I wouldn't be doing this. But anyway, tell me something.
The reason why it was really addictive to me, it was just so nice to know that I can buy my groceries from South Africa or London. I can buy my clothes from London or South Africa. I can, and then that didn't stop there, because we were flight attendants. We could get tickets to anywhere in the world. You know, imagine
during
if
your
all
vacation.
You're paying. Yes, imagine if all you're paying is taxes to fly to the United States, and you just pay a ticket $300 when people are paying
$1,600. Right.
And then the other beauty was, I'm going to work. Have tea and coffee, as they put it. They think that's all we did. But right. Ashura really explained it well.
Yeah.
So you're doing that. Maybe it's an 8-hour flight to London, let's say. You get to London and you sleep and you stay there 2-3 days doing nothing.
Just
you know?
Enjoying at the hotel.
Just enjoying shopping and all that. Then you fly back another 8 hours. You technically worked 16 hours and got paid $210. And then you come back to Uganda, and then you have 2-3 days off, doing nothing in Uganda. And then your next flight is a 4-hour flight to South Africa, where you're going to stay another 3 days, make $210, doing nothing, and then come back 4 hours. I mean, who doesn't like that?
Okay, I think that's a very good explanation for such an international flight. Hours.
Yeah.
But also, let me tell you something. There's local flights here. We have local flights in Africa, people flying all over Africa. We have local flights in the US. Moses Haule has an experience of that. Tell us, Martin, for your experience.
It was not as fun as we had with Alliance. It was very different over here. You have to fly, like, everything was based on seniority. And in order to get those international flights, you had to work for the company for a long time, because the seniority, you have people work for the company for 20 years. And if you look at the airlines in United States, like I'm talking about major airlines, their flight attendants are nowhere close to the flight attendants that you see them in Emirates or other airlines. It's like, and I'm not saying that it's in a bad way, but it's true. Like most of the flight attendants, if you fly United, American Air, they are really old flight attendants.
Because they have to get to that seniority level to go to those international flights.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So it was not as good experience.
They have to change the system.
Yeah, it was.
It's targeting the young ones. That's not good. That's not fair.
It's
it's a system.
So it was not. And you have like, in a day, you have 6 legs to fly. So that's a lot of flying. Let's say you fly from Richmond Airport in Virginia. Then you go to Chicago O'Hare. That's like, then from Chicago, you go somewhere like another small city, maybe Bloomington, Illinois. So you have maybe 6 legs a day. By the time you finish, you really, really don't want anything. It's just a bed. Then when you fly local, you just fly in and out. You get there maximum 8 hours of rest. Then you out.
Oh, wow.
Then after 2 days, you probably be doing that. Then you go on your home at your base, and you get 2 days off, and then you start over again. But if you get international flights, in the United States, if you work for the big airline, you get international flights. Yeah, you will go somewhere, like let's say Japan, Narita. You're going to stay there maybe for 2 days, then come back. But you have to be senior to get those lines.
And also with these larger airlines, for instance, I've been flying, of course, like you guys do when you go to Africa or someplace else. I get a chance to speak to the flight attendants. I mean, every flight you go, nobody knows nobody. This is the first flight they meet, and it will be probably the last flight they meet.
True.
So you can imagine.
True. They cannot keep it together because those lines.
We were so close.
I know, because it was a small airline with very few of you guys. Yeah. So we meet all the time. But all these flights you're going to Europe, guess what? You don't know even who this next person to you is. You just met him that day.
Yeah.
So even if you go there and have 2 days, but you know, you can be a loner, because who do you know?
That's true.
You see?
That's so sad. And then you might not see them again?
Nope. Of course, because there are so many flight attendants in this company. So the next flight, they have different people coming on board.
Martin, was that how it was for you? You never knew any of the people you flew with at any one time?
So I flew for 2 different airlines, and this was they call them the feeders. Like we fly into local small cities and stuff, so I knew some people of the company that I work with, but some of them I never met them. Some of them I never met them. I just like see them at the airport. Oh, you work for? Oh, okay. Hi, how you doing? That's it. But we work for the same company. I only knew
the
very
meet
few.
And greet experience every time you meet the crew. Wow.
Yeah, and you're gonna have that person, those people, maybe for the whole day, and tomorrow you will not see them. But you spend.
That's messed up.
You spend.
And let me tell you something,
but
guys. I used to live. Let me tell you something.
Well, remember during the training, because you'd fly into Durban and all those other places, and you fly with SAA, and you hardly knew the crew.
Yeah,
never
that's
seen
exactly.
And not see them again, and that's, I think, an issue with big airlines.
Yeah.
Of flight attendants. So. Well, then I wouldn't have enjoyed it if that had been like, oh, gosh, it's different.
That's why it's not like for everybody. But it's still fun because you get free tickets, like Sunday say, you get free tickets and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Seeing places if you like seeing. That's really good. I flew a lot of cities in the United States, so it's a good thing if you like to travel and see places and see
if you're
people,
a loner,
experience different cultures. It's still fun.
Hold it right there. You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17 hours 30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. We'll be back.
VOAAfrica.com.
On VOAAfrica.com, the news updates never stop. Our primary goal is to keep you informed.
VOAAfrica.com, your trusted source for news and information.
Welcome back. This is Let's Talk, a program of the Africa Service of the Voice of America. In the USA, Martin will tell us, they have some things that, you know what, if you're starting for the first time, your skirt cannot be above your knees at some point. But after staying there for a while, it can be and go there. Now, what was the rules for you guys in Alliance Air? How did you do that? How did it work out?
In our days, we never used to wear skirts above the knees. It was actually below the knees. They were not long, not mini skirts, but just below the knees. Your skirt is actually the right length.
A few of us tried, but just because we wanted to look neater, young and chic, and a bit of, you know, a fresher look,
So you had to, like, cut it short a little bit more than to break. You had to break the rules a little bit.
Exactly.
Helen, how did you do it?
I cut the skirt. And the dress, the winter dress.
Oh, my God. So this didn't bring you any trouble with your bosses at all at that time?
No, it did not. Remember, we always were talking. And those of us who cut those skirts and were smaller, like really small, it was hard to see or even notice anything. We had talking.
Well, hold it right there. You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17 hours 30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. It for show tonight, where we lightheartedly explored flight attendants. A big thank you to our guests Philemon Chacha from Tanzania and Peter Odeke from Uganda. And of course, a big thank you here in the studio, my friend Moses Haule.
Thank you.
I'm so happy you came in. Thank you, Moses. They also call you Kalega.
Kalega.
Yes, sir. And of course, over the phone, all the way from Tanzania, Ashura Yusuf.
It's been a pleasure, Sunday. Thank you so much for inviting me again to your show.
Okay, and from Kenya, Miriam Flamini.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sunday, for having me on the show. It's been absolutely a pleasure.
All right, and from Atlanta, Georgia, Helena Jumbo. Thank you today, Helen.
It was such a joy to even just hear from you guys.
All right, and Jackson Mvunganyi is our producer. Please send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-205-9942. After the VO announcement, leave us a message. That's 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Thanks for tuning in and join us again next Monday at 1730 UTC. Another exciting edition of Let's Talk. Our topic next week will be boxing. Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays for another discussion program, Health Chat. Host Lino Madu and her guest physician discuss a health issue of interest to you. That's Health Chat, Tuesdays at 17 hours 30 UTC, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.